Live Wild's Connection Matters podcast, bringing together heart-centered, nature-connected, curious people who share the inquiry, how can we create a connected and meaningful way of living that brings more health, happiness and growth to our world? My name is Leona Johnson and I am your host. Hey beautiful humans, welcome to episode 33 of Connection Matters podcast. It's really nice to be here. I've had a really lovely, nourishing weekend singing with a whole group of women who are training to become singing mamas, choir leaders. It's a whole beautiful movement called Singing Mamas. If you don't know it, do check it out. It's www.singingmamaschoir.com. And it's about maternal well-being. It's a whole movement. Well, their vision is for a world where everybody sings, which I just love. And it's really responding to the crisis in maternal mental health, but also the crisis of community. And it's a place where women can connect and network and support each other. And it's brilliant. I'm going to interview Kate Valentine, who's the founder and director of Singing Mamas, in the next few weeks. So do look out for that episode. It's really inspiring and a brilliant story, and you'll love to hear about it. Before that, I'm also excited to bring you this episode because it's with Skye Boutenhouse. Skye and I had such a gorgeous conversation a few days ago. We've known each other for a while through training that we've done together, or people that we know in common. But it was so nice to hear our journeys. We've got so many similarities in how we've come to be at this point in our lives where we are feeling like we are able to share connection practices and helping people to deepen their own relationship to the other than human world in order to live more connected lives. It was really lovely. We were really glowing by the end of the conversation, so I would definitely recommend listening through to the end. So I'll read a little bit about Skye so that you get a sense of who she is and can look forward to what's ahead. Skye Maria Boutenhouse has extensive experience supporting people to deepen their connection to nature, including our own inner nature as part of the larger natural landscape. She's the co-founder of GIFT, Global Institute of Forest Therapy, and the Association of Nature and Forest Therapy. As well as designing and directing the organisation's training programmes, she's personally trained and mentored hundreds of people to follow their passions of becoming forest therapy guides. She is currently the co-host for the Bringing It Home programme, a year-long journey of deep nature connection and cultural repair based on the Eight Shields model. As a nature connection guide, she draws on her training as a Work That Reconnects facilitator, as founded by Joanna Macy, and an Eight Shields facilitator, which is I'm sure you know about the Eight Shields. If you listen to any of our podcasts, lots of the people I speak to have worked with the Eight Shields, but it's a pan-cultural model for deep nature connection and culture repair. And it was founded by John Young, which I have done an episode with. As well as many other influences, and her own ongoing personal journey of remembering and embodying her most enlivened natural state of being, she continues to actively learn from Indigenous cultures and wisdom keepers. As a facilitator, her passion is to offer people the experience of coming home. That is, remembering that as human, we are embedded in this complex and infinitely diverse web of life on our beautiful planet Earth. She's deeply moved and nourished by supporting and witnessing others having this embodied, innately human experience of returning home to wholeness. Within her nature connection work, she also has a deep passion for supporting women's journeys of returning to the wisdom of their bodies through teaching fertility awareness, natural family planning, and womb wellness. So it's a fab episode. I hope you enjoy it. Before that, for anyone that's new to the podcast, don't forget to hit subscribe at the bottom of whichever app you're listening to it on. That way you'll get any new episodes straight into your inbox. And if you haven't already and you listen to the podcast regularly and you like us, please do leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us with our ratings. Also, We have a Patreon, www.patreon.com/connectionmatterspodcast. And you can support us there for as little as £3 a month. And that way you'll get some exclusive content from me. Also some giveaways and some discounts and some freebies from the people that we have on the podcast. So it's really worth it and it's really helpful for us. So I'd be really grateful if you hopped over there and took a look at that. And last but not least, I'll share with you some of the things I'm doing this year. We've got a singing in nature retreat, Live Wild Soul Sounds, on the 20th to the 22nd of May at the beautiful Middlewood Off-Grid Centre, which is in the middle of some ancient woodlands. Very beautiful. It's going to be so nurturing and deeply held with Damien Marnie and myself, who've worked together for about 4 years now, holding day-long singing in nature retreats, and we still do that as well in Manchester and Hebden Bridge. But for those who are a bit further away and want to come up for this retreat, it's a perfect opportunity. So I'd love to see some of you there. That's the 20th to the 22nd of May this year. I'm also working with Luby McNamara, who I've done 2 podcasts with, actually, if you look back. We're doing the Peace, Empowerment and Cultural Emergence Retreat. It's called the Peace Retreat, on the 8th to the 14th of August. And that's just going to be such a beautiful, deeply embodied experience of the 8 shields and the cultural emergence principles. So it's a week-long retreat and people will leave feeling deeply healed and nourished and connected. And I'm really excited about that. So do check that out. And also, I'm starting a Questing with Fire course on the 14th of May. And that is a 5-part course, which includes a fire quest. And there's a lot more about that on the website. But just to say that it's a beautiful opportunity to deepen relationship to the elements, and particularly with fire, and also with self and our own journey, and with asking questions, how to ask good questions and how to listen to nature, and particularly build the relationship with fire. So that's fairly inspired by traditional cultural wisdom that I've learned on my journey over the last years, and I'm excited to share that with you. You can see links to all of the things that I've mentioned already in the show notes just below. So do check them out. Check out our website. Contact me on Instagram. That's where I love to speak to people. Or by email at connectionmatterspodcast@livewild.org.uk. So without further ado, this is Skye Boutenhaus. Hey Skye, welcome to Connection Matters Podcast. It's really nice to have you here.
Hi, Leona. Thanks so much for having me.
So for the listeners at home, I'm just going to tell them a little bit about what we just did. When Skye came onto the call with me before we hit record, we both had a little moment of lighting a candle, spending a little moment with our altar, and I smudged around with some sweet grass, which I just love. I love the smell of sweet grass. And I'm feeling a whole lot more grounded than I was before. Feet on the ground and connected to my body. And I was really grateful to be able to be in circles of people and beings that allow me to do that kind of thing whenever I first start a conversation, a meeting. It's not what everyone gets to do, and I must say, as life goes on, I'm getting to have some really lovely connection practices before I do anything now, when I get up in the morning, before we start our business meetings with Live Wild, before I go on long journeys. And that's been a process for me that's become more about who I am now than it ever was before. So I'm really grateful this morning for nourishing connection practices and just the beauty of life, the simpleness of life, and how wonderful it can be whenever we take time to be present and connect. I'm wondering How are you feeling today, Sky, and what are you grateful for?
I'm feeling some relief today. I've been, overwhelm is something that's quite present in my life often, and particularly in the last few days. So it was really lovely to take myself out into the woods this morning and really put some effort into beginning my day, setting myself up for more spaciousness, which allows for connection, which for me is just the simple joy of life, is just to feel that connection. I'm really grateful for it. It still is one of these beautiful mornings where there's lots of sun and then there's those unexpected rain showers that are just lovely to be in outside. So I was really, just so enjoyed the going through the trails in the woodland and the feeling after a storm has been through, and the quality of the sound when there's a lot of water in the landscape and all the birds. Just the spring awakening of the birds is just so fantastic and such a wonder always. And also grateful for you just naming that there, the preciousness of having some shared culture, to have something that's really precious to us, and to share it with someone else who says yes and understands and joins you in that is such a precious thing. And it's interesting you started with that, because I feel like that's going to be so much of what we're going to talk about.
Lovely. Yeah, absolutely. It's a rare and precious thing, although less rare than it ever was before, but really, really important to voice it, I think, as it is with all of the things that we want to call in more into our life. And it's really lovely to hear about your walk this morning, because the descriptiveness really took me there. You know, the smells, the sounds, the feeling of the rain, the feeling of the sun on your face. So beautiful. So thank you. So we met, I think, some years ago, down in East Sussex in the UK. Was it West Sussex? I never know.
Sussex, but you might know better than I, because I'm not from the UK. But.
And it was on a course that was Sal Gencarelli, who is someone who I've worked with for quite a few years, and I think you have in various ways as well, was running a course, and we met through a mutual friend and through being on the same training. And I understood then that you were a big part of the Eight Shields community and the art of mentoring, and it had been a big part of your journey, although I didn't get to hear so much about it then. So I'd love to hear a little bit about your journey with nature connection and how it all began for you. How did you get onto this path of connection?
Thanks, Leona. Well, I have one of those stories. It's always hard, because when someone asks me that question, I kind of have to go right back to when I was born, because I was very lucky that I was kind of born into it, in the sense of the situation I was born into, which was, I'm first generation Irish to Dutch parents, who came over to the west of Ireland, Galway, in 1980, and bought up the remnants of an old famine village that was total ruins, and, real kind of classic hippie migrants parents, and was born there in the little cottage with candlelight. And so it's just a very precious way to have been come into the world, and smiling with bread in the oven. That was a detail I heard recently, and I've always loved baking, so that makes sense. But I grew up in the countryside, and I went to school, but most of the time when I wasn't in school, my memories are just always being out in the woods with my sister, my older sister Ava, and then also with my friends. And I have these kind of visceral memories, because we used to make the woods at home our hazel woodlands, with bluebells, and they're very magical, very fairy like. You can see where all that is, the folklore around fairies comes from, that energy that's here very strongly. And we used to make huts with sticks between the rocks, and we covered the sticks with moss because there's all these big mossy rocks. So you couldn't see these things. And then we like crawl into them. So that sense of like the smell of the earth and the earthy plants like moss is something that was really, I got to experience a lot. And also, interestingly enough, we didn't have a bathroom. And so I have all these memories of, for the first 5 years or so, of walking out into the woods by myself from quite a young age, actually. So there's these things that happened in my childhood that I think really gave me this very, like a visceral, and maybe you could describe that as a grounded connection with the earth. And also we had Greenpeace magazines on the table from my earliest memory. So from very young, I wanted to be, I imagined myself being an environmental activist with Greenpeace and decided to become vegetarian when I was 7. So yeah, I have one of those upbringings and maybe my own personal alignment that there wasn't a moment where I had the awakening in that sense. You know, it was just kind of what I was, the circumstances of my early life. And so when I finished school, I went and did a degree in environmental biology, thinking, that I wanted to be a conservationist and work in conservation. And I got quite disillusioned by the end of that, feeling like we actually, from a scientific point of view, that we already knew what we needed to know in order to take the steps to really support all of life on the planet. Although I really loved learning the intricacies of plants and, I could have totally kept going, a part of me was like, this doesn't feel like the answer for me anyway. And I wanted to search more. And so I ended up going from that to this 2-year permaculture course thinking, okay, it must be about practical solutions then. I'm going to learn the practical solutions. And then by the end of that, I was like, we know the practical solutions, but we're not implementing them. And why is that? And that's what really brought me to the work I do now, which is really focused on rekindling, reawakening that reciprocal relationship with the greater natural world and the emotional connection. You know, those two I see live side by side, and because that to me seems to be what's been broken in a way, is that emotional connection and that sense of togetherness with the rest of nature, and that really experiencing a felt sense of feeling supported. Like I remember in my own nature connection journey, that moment where the concept of Mother Earth dropped from my mind into like from a rational understanding, that makes sense because I know I receive everything from the earth, to actually an embodied experience of learning some of these deep nature connection practices where we can go out and really ask for the support we need and really receive that guidance, which so profoundly changed my life. Because although I had this whole childhood and in the forest, I still had I can still remember in my early 20s, like I'd go out to the forest and if I was experiencing something really difficult, hard emotions, I'd go out there because I knew it was a place I could express that in a free way. But I still, what's best described, I think, is I still had that kind of boogeyman syndrome in the woods. I still had this fear that was still present, or in a way, just this fear of the unknown still in there. And that really changed for me. And what also really changed for me in finding that, really having that Mother Earth experience, is that there was this kind of unquenchable loneliness in me before that just because my connection was really only with the human world in that way before that. And humans come and go. It's just the reality of human beings. But greater nature as a whole is always there in one form or another, as long as we're alive here. That loneliness was gone and it really, really impacted my life. So part of that journey then was finding the eight shields. I was doing a lot of different, I'd come across a lot of different things like, organic growing, ecological building, community facilitation and conflict resolution, and energy healing practices, you know, and it all just felt like these are all so important. These are all parts of the puzzle, but I couldn't see the puzzle yet. I couldn't see how it all fit together to actually create one change. And the change I was feeling a longing for and still do. And then it was when I found the eight shields that it was really like, oh, here's the map, you know, and that's how it's best described, is a map to a new territory, a new story, a new way of being. And that's why I loved it so much. And I decided to dedicate a lot of my time to learning it and continue to. Don't think it's a journey that has an end. So, yeah.
Wow. Do you know, listening to you, I could have been listening to my own story. It's so, I don't know. I just love it when synchronicities like that happen. I grew up in Cornwall, so I wasn't in a house that didn't have a bathroom, but I was out all the time, you know, in nature, and it was a very different world and time, I think. And I had, you know, Save the Dolphins on the living room table, and you know, posters of the World Wildlife Fund all over my walls, and was really, you know, deeply drawn to doing something, but I didn't know what that was. And I went into A-levels to do earth and environmental science, and and I found there that it wasn't quite what I felt was needed, and ended up doing philosophy and social work. And so I went more into the you know, trying to change humans and human behavior, but obviously being in social work and part of the system, didn't find my answer there, because what we ultimately need is a new system. And so, you know, journeyed into connection through forest schools and eco-psychology in order to become an eco-therapist, to think about how we change culture, how is it that we actually do the things, as you say, we already know how to do. How is it that we actually step into a more connected and balanced way of life and implement all of the things that we know we should be implementing in order to live more in balance and harmony? So obviously, I'm sure there are so many differences in our story, but it was really lovely to hear, you know, the journey that brings us to this point now, and that excitement that you found whenever you found the eight shields, and something that you felt encompassed all of the things, all of the ways that we need to consider life in order to create the optimum conditions for connection. Because ultimately, that's what we're doing here, isn't it? We're trying to heal the disconnection sickness of our times, which I think is really the problem. It is the problem. It's that separateness that we feel and that we've done to ourselves, taking ourselves as separate rather than seeing ourselves as humanity, as being part of this beautiful, intricate, wonderful, reciprocal web of life that is constantly giving to us, and that we need to be able to find a way back into. And yeah, it's an interesting time to live, hey?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so lovely to discover the similarity between us right now in the moment. It's really nice. Yeah.
So when you did discover the eight shields and this map of nature connection and well, connection as a whole, what did that mean to you? What did that look like? How did you delve into it?
So I wanted to go to the Fintorn community anyway, and so I was kind of perusing their website, if you will, and came across this 3-day course from John Young, and had never heard of the eight shields at the time. And I often think back to that moment, where would my, you know, those choice points in life, like, because I just, you know, I see lots of trainings and workshops advertised, and but I chose to press the button or whatever to go on that one, and that's where I found it. And because of that, I ended up going to that was in the spring, early in the year, I ended up going to Art of Mentoring, which is the week-long really deep dive village experience of the eight shields. And there's one happening again this year later in the summer, actually, in Scotland. And there was someone there holding the place of an elder. So you know, there's many cultural elements that the Eight Shields recognizes as really key to creating that culture you just spoke to so beautifully of, that we're longing for. And one of them is, well, mentoring is a huge piece. And then within that specifically is eldering, you know, conscious eldering, bringing conscious eldering back. And so at Eight Shields events, you know, as at some other events, of course, as well, this isn't exclusive to the Eight Shields, you know, this eldering is being brought back. So there was a man there called James Stark, who was over from California as an elder. And because of my relationships with some of the staff at the time, I ended up being there at the after party kind of thing, celebration with the staff. And I happened to sit beside him. And I tell this story because it was a key moment of healing and what was to come for me, which was that he just asked me how I was. You know, I can't remember the exact question, but there was an invitation of like, how are you? Tell me about how you are. And I sat there and talked to him for maybe an hour. And it was my first experience ever of being listened to by an older person and not feeling an inkling of fear from them about anything I was telling them. I just felt this sense of him holding my journey that I was sharing with him in that moment with such compassion and also joy. And, you know, I was to get to know James much better. And that was one of his qualities as an elder. It's this bringing this joy and lightness, because no matter what we're struggling with and how unique it might feel in the moment, we all have such similar struggles as human beings. And there's a lightness and a joy that can be brought in, especially from his perspective and where he's at in his age. And that to me was, yeah, a sign of what was to come, what was to become a big part for me was to, what is it like to bring elders back into my life? So he was one of the founders of the RDNA course in California, the Regenerative Design and Nature Awareness. So because of that conversation, he basically mentored me over there and supported me to come. And so I went and did 2 years immersion into Eight Shields there, kind of 3 days a week for two, you know, the academic year, even though there was really very little academic about it. But so that time for me was really my own healing journey of being held by that framework. And I actually came back for a year in between the first and the second years. And I really didn't want to leave Ireland. And so I came straight back after the first year. But there was such a sense of, I wanted to bring these things forward and I wanted to step into a leadership place and do that. But it felt so big to try to do that. And I felt quite alone in that and I just didn't feel ready. And what I really felt was like the flame in my own heart needed more time before stepping into sharing that or helping to, yeah, bring that work to other people. So then I decided to go back for the second year and the course had changed somewhat. And I ended up doing it with the Weaving, what's now called Weaving Earth School, because I needed more for myself. I still needed to be held more myself. And those 2 years were just a really rich exploration of the map through our own beings, you know, all the participants, the students of that course. So I went through things like, oh, so many things. Yeah, a lot of deep nature connection practices, and then a lot of exploring the different cultural elements that, you know, many Indigenous cultures practice. So, for example, I did my own rites of passage in it. We did a lot of like grief tending ceremonies, connecting to the ancestor ceremonies, fire quests through the night, actually, when someone was really needing that. Gosh, so many different things, how to be in relationship, you know, all of these kind of village building and village sustaining practices. And then at the end of that, it was like I had been following this path in the woods very clearly that ran in front of me. And it was so clear and I was just following it. And there's a simplicity to that, actually. And it's just that learning phase of like just soaking it in. And then when I was finished the second year, something happened, which was like this path just disappeared. And I was a bit like, whoa, what just happened? And I had this sense of like, I think it's integrating. I think this is the moment of embodying the practices, like having it in your body through your own personal experiences. And I remember sitting around, there was an Ardha mentoring then I staffed, and I was spending a lot of, I was the head water woman for the sacred fire there. And so I spent a lot of time these 4 days at this fire. And at one point I was having a conversation with John Young, who was at the fire at that moment as well. And I described that to him, and he said, oh yeah, it's just time to give gratitude, do a gratitude ceremony, let go and trust what's to come. So, and then I suppose that's like seven, eight years ago. And then I just dove really, really dove into the deep nature connection and how to bring that to the world, and dove into the forest therapy for 7 years or so. So really into that, what we've both spoken about around, like you mentioned eco-psychology, you know, it's very in that field as well, and eco-therapy. And just supporting people who have had a healing connection, a healing experience with nature, and want to bring that to other people. And I'll just share this last bit. I'm aware this is kind of a long thread. And so what's beautiful about that is that the trainings I've been running for years, the forest therapy guide training, there's these 8-day intensives. And so all these people come from all different backgrounds, but all with that one thing in common: they've had this healing experience and they want to help bring it to other people because they really value it. And then in those 8 days, what happens is that transition happens for all of them. Either it's a really significant, profound deepening, or it's a new experience altogether for them, is they cross that divide you spoke about, you know, of feeling like, here I am as a human being and there's nature over there and I can make contact with that nature, but I'm not ultimately a part of it. And so like transitioning from that to feeling, to like returning home, that's what I call that experience, to returning home to life, really. And really on a felt sense in their bodies, feeling part of greater nature again. And that's just such a beautiful and such a needed journey.
So beautiful and so needed for all of us. I always say that, you know, when people ask me who I want to work with, I know you're supposed to have an idea of your, you know, your ideal client or something, and I just think, gosh, you know, everybody needs this. You know, the inner city children, you know, who don't have access to nature and don't have, hardly even have playing fields anymore, you know, to run around in, and have such limited space to connect. And then, you know, the big bosses of the most powerful companies in the world, everybody needs to find their way back to connection. And so to hear the beauty, you know, of the journey that the people go through when they've already found some connection and then they're reaching further to learn how to bring that to others. It's really beautiful and profound and exciting, actually, to know that this is going on. This is going on elsewhere, and that the more I hear and the more I learn and the more I know about the network that we're part of, and that I guess all the listeners who are listening to this podcast are part of, because they're here, you know, we know that there's this web of people who are taking deeper connection back into our everyday lives. It's not just a retreat anymore. It's not just a place that you go away from normal life and have this nourishing experience and then have to go back to the world and be as you were before. It's that bit by bit, we can start taking some of this back into the world as it is now and recreate these cultures. Once we understand what culture is, once we understand about bringing practices of connection into everyday life, we can do that. Mm. I know quite a few people who, after their first experience of going to an art of mentoring, the Nature Connection training camp that you spoke of, they left and they really experienced quite a lot of grief afterwards because they went home to their normal lives and tried to tell their friends and families and people about what they'd just experienced. And of course, unless you've experienced what it really feels like to be part of a deeply connected and intentional space where there are elders and there are grief tending spaces and practices, and where there are people who look out for the young and the teenagers, and there is a place to meet in the heart of the village every day where we can talk about things, you know, that's a really powerful thing to experience, and it is you know, intricate to the art of mentoring and how it's held. But unless you've experienced that, how could you know what that means? You know, how could you know how it changes your, I think it changes your DNA. You know, my experience is that I feel like a different version of a human whenever mm-hmm. I've been to an Eight Shields camp or an art of mentoring. And so it's quite a thing to dip in and out and in and out of these spaces and to try and manage that in everyday life. I wonder, for people who are starting to or have found, you know, places where they can go where they feel fully alive and they feel that this is the way or this is part of the way and they want to do more of it, how have you found or how do you manage that difference?
Yeah, I think this is the question. We're moving into territory of questions that are so much more difficult to find an answer to in some way, because it's, I feel like that is the moment of the story we're living. There's like, yeah, we can go and have these experiences that are so valuable. And like you were saying, you know, these moments of like where we feel like our DNA is maybe being changed or parts of it are reawoken, memories are waking up of what it feels like to be a whole human being, really. Yeah, with all these intact connections with our fellow humans in different ways, and also our, you know, the rest of nature. It's such a big question, and, you know, the term that I want to name is this bringing it home. And I know that's what brought us into connection for this podcast today, is the Bringing It Home program that I'm co-running. And I'd love to say a bit about that in a moment around the intention of that course, because it speaks to this. And I know that, well, first it's like, where are we maybe hoping to get to as individuals? And then how do we even get there? Because that bit you said about our DNA changing, what I've noticed is that when I have enough, and this was, you know, this was the real value of going and doing those programs for me in California, was that I immersed in it long enough that it truly did change something in me. I became a different person. I really feel that I became a different person. And even when I go far from that in my busy life, or I forget to do the connection practices, or I haven't done them in some time, how my nervous system has been changed, I suppose, and the way I can connect through having spent enough time having those kind of experiences of connection in different ways, they can get reactivated. They're just sleeping, but they're not gone. And so they get reactivated. And it's also, it's a way of being in your life. It's a way of those connections are there now, whether we are, you know, really actively practicing them or not, those connections have been formed. But yeah, how do we get to that place of really it becoming a part of who we are? And through that, I think creating it more and more in our lives with the people that we spend our time with, how we spend our time. And it's such an ongoing journey for me personally. You know, I described that bit around coming home and realizing I needed more and going back for more of it. And so that's that journey of like having to go back first to perhaps initially bolster ourselves more. And then after that, it's to keep feeding that hope, that belief that a different story is possible, that a different narrative is possible, and to keep giving ourselves, strengthening ourselves so that when we go out into our worlds and our home places, maybe where we're not finding that, that we can keep that flame alive in ourselves and be that leader, you know, or be that co-leader with other people in our communities to bring that cultural elements back, you know, that are really important to us and that we've experienced at, say, an art mentoring camp. I can give some small examples from my life because it's such an ongoing journey for me around, you know, I had these elders in my life in California that changed my life. I was really like, how was it to not have elders before? Because all of a sudden I had this feeling of someone's always got my back and it's someone who has total trust in my path and love and compassion for me as a human being. And I've been back in Ireland now 5 years or so, and I still haven't found that here. And I've actually rekindled one of those relationships recently, and it's lovely. But there's two people here, a man and a woman, that I've kind of been, you know, very slowly, you know, looking to them more as the possibility of could they be more elders in my life, and, you know, inviting them to, I ran a weekend there called the Nature of Village in August at my home place, and they came and were in that elder position. So it's a slow journey. It doesn't have to be, there's different speeds for everybody, but I think for a lot of us, this isn't a quick fix by any means. You know, I have been for 15 years doing things on my home property as an adult. I've poured so much energy in my heart into that place. It's been so difficult with some family challenges to know whether, you know, my vision for really working with the land there and bringing more people there to work with the land would ever happen. And there's just been a big shift in that. And finally, there's like this release of like this energy can flow. But I held on to that for 15 years and there was so much doubt along the way and so much, am I just barking up the wrong tree here? So much fear that I was pouring my life force energy into the quote unquote wrong place, you know, that I wasn't listening to life properly, you know, just so many doubts along the way. And it's just now something has shifted. So for me right now, that's an incredible affirmation that even when things are hard, even when you really don't know if it's the right thing, even when you're doubting yourself lots and it's such a struggle between, yes, this is definitely the right thing too, I don't know, that could still be the right journey. That's what it's affirming to me.
I love hearing that because it's so true. I mean, my own journey was, I was so determined to do something about the world that I threw myself into activism, into doing a lot of campaigning and literally on the ground, frontline, using my body to stop things happening, and that was really empowering and exciting, and at the same time I felt like the community around me, they weren't able to hold space for the grief that is the motivator behind a lot of people who do that kind of work, you know. And so I found us replicating some of the same patterns in society that we were trying to break, you know, mm-hmm. of domination and disempowerment and separation and judgment. And so it took me a journey to actually realize, it was actually the work that Reconnects that really helped me, the work of Joanna Macy, where I realized that I needed to work with my own internal culture. I needed to really, really come home to myself. I really needed to know what mm-hmm. that even means. What were we trying to recreate? Mm-hmm. There's one thing trying to stop things that are happening, but if we don't know what we're moving to, then we're likely to just to repeat the same patterns. Mm-hmm. And that journey of pulling myself back out of that that need to stop things and feel guilt, all the guilt about that, because that's what I thought I was supposed to do. And then just be myself, be healing, be a mother, be in my community the best that I could be, and actually then slowly move towards creating and supporting others to find that themselves. It was a scary journey, because I thought, am I just growing old and being crap, you know, for want of a better word? Am I actually just using this as an excuse to not be out there and actually make a change? Am I using this? And that was scary, because, you know, I had once had children, I really wanted to be part of the change, but holding on to the fact that this journey was going to be a slow one of me reconnecting myself first, and then slowly, you know, creating that culture for my children and for the community around me, and then doing that in my work was a big part of it. And it did take a lot of trust, did take a lot of, am I just fighting a losing battle? Is this crazy to actually believe that we can recreate cultures of connection, that we can reimagine a new way from the old ways? And can we actually start to find that web of connection, intergenerational connection that celebrates life and allows grief and recognition of the past in all its ways? And slowly I'm finding that it's happening, you know, after years of not knowing, actually losing Laura, a friend of mine who was part of that journey, and she had the real passion and the push to actually start this connection journey with the Eight Shields, and sadly she died 3 or 4 years ago, and it's been a real journey to keep it going without her. But one of my affirming moments has been that her son, her gorgeous son, who's now 17, who used to go to all of the Art of Mentorings when he was a child and went to lots of connection camps and did all of the connection practices and sit spots, and is now part of our organization and is now mentoring young people, and is now, he's also at college, but he's stepping into that role as the new generation of connectors and leaders. That just makes my heart just like expand even thinking of it, because it's the legacy of Laura, and it's the word? It's like, it's the gift of life, you know, showing up and giving us the affirmation that, you know, all of this work is working, and it is important. And I think that's a long version of saying yes, it takes time.
Yeah, and you know, listening to what you shared reminds me of, I think it's kind of a paradox, that one of like, well, first, because if we can see something different and we could see a future that is more life nourishing and life sustaining, and of course we want to be there because we can see it, but then there's the journey to get there. And while it will take many generations, to really to get there if we're lucky enough that we do. At the same time, there's amazing stuff that can happen in just a decade or two. Because that was my something that pulled me forward for a long time was this sense of I want my children to be born into not knowing anything different. And what I saw from that wasn't like a fully healed culture, but what I wanted them to have was that they would have mentors and aunties and uncles and elders that were in the wider community. And that would be just the norm for them, that they would be born into that in some way. And I see that. I don't have my own children, but I see that around me. And you just described it so beautifully. That yes, the big vision may not be able to be accomplished in our lifetimes, but so much can be, you know, and just hearing the emotion in and seeing the emotion in you as you shared that, it's like, there it is right there, you know, and it's so precious.
So for people who are at that point now where they're either at the beginning of their journey and they want a bit of this, or they have experienced some, you know, openings into connection but would like support in developing that into their life, what can they do? What is it? Tell us more about the program that you're doing and other ways that people can bring that into their lives now and start this process of coming home.
Yeah, thanks, Leona. So I'm running a year-long Eight Shields immersion course right now, and our new cycle is starting on the 18th of March. And so it's like it's a year-long journey through the map of the Eight Shields, starting in the east, which is, you know, the sun rises directly in the east for the spring equinox. So that's where we start. And then we travel around the wheel. And the program is called Bringing It Home because I run it with Peter Cow, but originally it was really, I think the vision really came through Rebecca Card, who is Peter's partner, and they ran it together for years. First in person in Devon, and then as a response to the pandemic, it went online. So we just finished our second yearly cycle of online. But it was really created in my understanding, and it's really in the name of like, how do we actually bring these things home to our home places, to our families, to our communities, to our, you know, our work, to our own way of showing up for our own personal connection, to our own bodies, you know, to the greater earth body. And so providing a more long-term support, a more immersion into the teachings, but a more long-term support as well that could help people really integrate it. And an interesting thing is that going online, actually, which was not the preference at all, it was really a response to the pandemic. But what it means is that there's no experience in that year of people going away to an immersive, amazing, you know, what can be those experiences like you described earlier, where it's, but you're away from your home and then you're having to come home and you're carrying this big story in your body, in your, you know, you want to share that, but also just in your body, you know, I'm different now. I feel different than I did at the beginning of the weekend or at the beginning of the week, and trying to integrate that. So because it's online, there is none of that. People are literally in their homes. We meet their pets and their children, you know, so yeah, it's beautiful to see how that is actually also really helpful. We have to give up that those experiences where we get that full on in the body experience of that healed village. But what we receive is that perhaps in ways more challenging journey, but in the end, it's the one we're all wanting to go on, which is how to integrate this more into our own lives. So the course is designed, there's a weekend for each of the eight directions, except for the Southwest, because that's the deep nature of wandering time. So we support people to go out on a sunrise to sunset or a 24-hour solo and really just sink into their own connection, yeah, and to themselves and to the land, and how those two are actually one, our inner and outer landscapes, you know, how they are in relationship. So I'll just pause there.
Beautiful. Sounds like an amazing process and really powerful. And I remember thinking I would never want to do a Nature Connection course online. And then actually I did something similar with the Helpers Mentoring Society, with the Helpers Journey. And for the first time, I was actually doing the practices in my home where I would be continuing to do them. And it was so powerful. It actually changed my life. It was the year that Laura, a friend I spoke of before, she was in her final year. So those practices, being at home, just nourished me and kept me going, and really helped me to find space here to ground and to really get to know the life that I wanted to create here, like you say, rather than being away and then having to come back, but to actually do it here. So it sounds beautiful. And I've watched some of the introduction, the free introduction videos that you have on the website. Maybe you could tell us more about them, because they're beautiful.
Yeah, that was a really fun project last year. I can't remember quite how it was born, but I think we were wanting to create, it was our own creativity and fun, and also wanting to get a resource out there for people, because it's one thing I found with the Eight Shields, because it's the teachings are delivered through experientially, basically. You know, there's the Coyote's Guide, and there's great great information in there, but it's one particular way of looking at the Eight Shields. Really around nature connection mentoring, and there's so much more. And so it's hard to find information, you know, online, like if you want to know a bit more about it or what it is. And that's why we did that. And it was a wonderful opportunity to work with our guest facilitators as well. And so we just asked everyone, and Peter and I also did it, to, you know, to embody the energy of that direction first. And then just to speak to some of the aspects, you know, the Eight Shields, the shield refers to, I always think of a family shield, where you have the kind of the gifts or the skills that a particular family name, what's going down the generations. And this is the same. It's like, what are the gifts of the direction, the aspects? What can we learn from it? And how can we translate those learnings into cultural awarenesses and cultural practices? So we were just exploring that a bit and taking it at the time of day that direction was in. So it was really sweet and a lot of fun. And we've gotten a really great response. I think a lot of people have signed up for it and watched them. And we've got a good response of really kind of it being a lovely introduction for people. And so that's still running if people want to sign up for that through our website.
Nice. Well, I'll definitely put the links to the videos and to the course and to the Eight Shields and as much as I can for people who've listened to this conversation, because like you say, we all need ways of finding out more. And when we've heard something and our ears prick up and we get that little buzz in our bodies and something in our hearts tells us, oh, this is exciting, this is interesting, I want to know more. It's really frustrating when there isn't more there to feed us. So these things that are there online, also these opportunities to do these courses that bring it to our lives, and also the Art of Mentoring Camp that's happening this year that you mentioned before in Scotland are all opportunities for people who like the sound of building more nature connected and more connected cultures into their lives to get an experience of that and some support and be part of a a really beautiful growing network of people. Is there anything else that you'd like to share before we finish the call?
I feel like just saying something about what is it to feel connection in our body and what is it. Specifically, I'm inspired to speak to just the human to human aspect of it right now, because here we are, you know, geographically far away from each other. You know, we're getting to see each other on a video and we're finding out these beautiful synchronicities. And actually, I had that piece around direct action that was very similar to what you shared, and work that reconnects was also a big part of my journey. So it's, you know, and this, that sense of dropping in together at the beginning, and how much is, I can feel also this feeling in my body right now of just settling in and opening, and a lot of feelings that are very associated with gratitude to me. Yeah, that, like, that quietness inside and the spaciousness and the presence in my heart that comes from our conversation. And I remember before I stood in as co-host with Peter, I was there, so two cycles ago, I was the guest facilitator for the East, and we had just gone online. And it was the beginning of the pandemic. So there wasn't this like, oh, it works online. You know, there was this big question of like, is this, can we even do something like this online? And it was the East weekend, so it was the first weekend online that I was able to be a part of. And at the end, so we really had that living question through the weekend. And at the end of the weekend, and we're all people who are used to going to have these kinds of really life-affirming, beautiful village experiences, you know, in weekend workshops, at week-long things, art and mentoring. So we know what it feels like to have those connections activated in our body. And we felt the same feeling at the end of the weekend. And there was something, and I'm still in that question of what's happening in our bodies. You know, as someone who does enjoy science and knowing the whys of things, which is why I went to do environmental biology all those years ago, I have that curiosity. Wow, what is happening in our bodies? You know, what's happening in my nervous system right now that I can somehow create in connection with you, somehow still create that in my body, somehow myself in a way, even though I also completely acknowledge the mystery of time and space and what they actually are, you know, especially when those feelings still can still be, yeah, still emerge. So I suppose just wanting to honor and really give gratitude for all of the opportunities I've had in my life to that have supported me to take the time to build the practices and the connections with people in my life and the connection to myself, that I can drop into that, the simple, this, I think the most simple, beautiful thing about being a human being is to feel connection. Yeah, and how that feeling is so healing. It's like the healing balm for so much. Yeah, and so I feel grateful for this opportunity to speak with you and just drop in together and feel that here in my home kitchen where I live alone, you know. So, yeah.
I've got this lovely image of, I know John Young talks about the Bushmen of the Kalahari, the Sun Bushmen. They describe the cords of connection, the ropes of connection between you and another being, or being of creation, and that we tend those cords of connection when we do these connection practices. We strengthen them, and I like to envisage like this energy sort of flowing between, along those cords, between new connections as they grow and connections that we're nurturing, and that these ropes that start as threads becoming strings, becoming thicker strings, and then becoming these big chunky strong ropes. And because I can see the screen Sorry, listeners, but I can see the screen in front of me. I've got this image of this rope between Sky and me, sort of becoming stronger with this energy flowing between us. And that's all just happened in this short conversation, which has brought us into real visceral awareness of our bodies, of our, of what brings us alive, what makes us heal, what helps us to heal, and what helps us to have and maintain that vision for a future where everybody has the opportunity to feel disconnected and more.
Thank you. Yeah, dedicating this conversation to those ropes, strengthening. I feel that too between me and you now, that there was a thread there before because we were connected, but it wasn't really personal yet. And so creating, I definitely feel that strengthening and just, yeah, I want to send some love out and some dedication of our time together to you. Yeah, may the threads reform, and may the threads that are there, between each other, between us human beings and just all of creation, may they strengthen and become not just present but robust and resilient. And I just see this kind of network of connection activating and just lighting up, you know, this illumination.
Thank you so much, Sky. Thank you to all that supports us and all that will continue to support us.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I hope it inspires you to follow your path of deep connection. I love sharing this information so much, and I'll always share any relevant links in my show notes. If you like the show, please consider supporting it at patreon.com/connectionmatterspodcast. This is where you'll find bonus episodes, giveaways, and behind-the-scenes content from me, as well as having my huge heartfelt thanks for any support that you can give me. It really helps with the viability of the show. You can get most of what will be on offer for as little as £3 per month. Please also subscribe on whatever app you use by clicking that little subscribe button below. That way you'll get all of the upcoming episodes straight into your device. And please leave a review on iTunes. It's so helpful to our ratings. The music that opens and closes the show is actually by my very own dad, Ray Johnson. Thanks, Dad. And you can hear more of his music at soundcloud.com/visionray.